It's May 7th, year 2006, third, Sunday after Easter. I'm going to make a brief commentary in the Gospels and the Epistles, and then we're going to do some readings. But it's interesting what he's saying in this Gospel here. He's saying that you're going to have sadness in the world. Now, everyone's going to have sadness, no matter who we are, because we all got to die. And we all have to get sick, and we all die, and this body grows old and all that. So you're going to have sadness because it's an evil world. And what he's really saying is, but if you stay faithful to me, you're going to see me again, and you will rejoice for all eternity. So the main purpose that all human beings on this earth is to gain eternal life with God. Everything else is secondary, is meaningless without that as your primary goal. As you're reading a lot of these heresies today, that people say, the heresy you read in the book the other day, where they're saying, oh yeah, the missionaries were saving souls, but they were killing lives, but because the people were getting sick with diseases, or because they were getting persecuted and killed. So who cares? Our Lord says, he will save his life shall lose it, and he shall lose his life for the Son of Man, say shall save it. Mark 8:34-35. So the main purpose that we are in here in this life is not to enjoy yourself, although you will. God does give you peace and joy, but that's not the main purpose. He knows you're going to have suffering. He knows you're going to have to carry your cross. This is the burden that we're all going to have to carry because we're living in an evil world. But what really Christ is saying in his second coming, I'm going to come and I'm going to destroy this evil world and it will be no more. And then your rejoicing will be, even in this world, will be eternally wonderful. They were looking at Christ in a couple of days getting killed on the cross, getting murdered. And to most people, this is, of course it's sad, it's painful, and it looks like an ultimate defeat, but he raises 3 days after from the dead and brings up people up into heaven, so it's ultimate, it's eternal life. He's telling us you have to suffer to death, that's the penalty for sin, that we are going to suffer in here, and you are going to have moments of sadness because of the evil in the world, but stay faithful to God, because if you are, you will rejoice forever with Christ in heaven, and you will see him and be with him the second coming and the new earth that he creates. Now, St. Paul mentions something very important in this epistle. It's so important that without good works, we're not really good Catholics at all. And you can even question if somebody's works are really very, very obstinately bad. You can question, is this guy really Catholic at all? But you could be a bad Catholic and still be Catholic. And that puts you in mortal sin. And it also, what it does is if we don't rebuke bad Catholics, they scandalize. And even if we rebuke them, there's still an element of scandal there, because you're going to say, I thought your God is supposed to be able to give you all these graces and all this help to be able to become perfect and holy, and look at you bums that are out here that are not performing good works. You know, that your deeds testify to if you're really a good Catholic. What good is it for us to profess the faith and say we do have the faith and all that, but we're not doing our daily works? Now, we're not talking in particular in our case, because we're trying to be perfect and holy, if you're not committing mortal sins as far as alcoholism, stealing, robbing, lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, that even bad Catholics can even do that. But what I'm going to talk about today, which is the most important thing for us, and how is the beginning of things, is your daily, again, everyday duties. He says, do your works good. In convents or in monasteries, nuns, or in homes, in the Holy Family. Each Catholic family is supposed to be a holy family. What kind of a woman is this if she doesn't cook or she doesn't clean properly? What kind of a man is this if he doesn't take care of the house properly? Now, it doesn't mean you got to have a museum, you know. But it does mean that whatever duties before you, whatever God places before you is your daily duty, you have to be most diligent in doing that job as good as you ever possibly can. And you have to ask yourself at the end of the day, did I do the job proper? Did I do it right? Did I do it as good as I possibly can do it? And then those works is what people look at. So the big thing we're going to talk about today, and I just opened it up to there too. It was really interesting a couple nights before, and because now is even what God's teaching me, work on one project and put all your efforts into that and don't go 20 different places. Because literally I have at least hundreds of things I got to work on. And I have it written down. Caesar's do. You know how often I talk about things I got to do. Protestant brochures. I got literally hundreds of projects I want to do. Co-regentrix Mary. I got so many different projects I want to do. And if I got my mind too much on them while I'm doing my current project, I'm going to do that job inefficiently. I'm not going to be diligent. And what God's been doing to me all these years is slow me up and show me this. Rich, do one thing that's put in front of you and do it right. Do it diligently, and then go on and do your next project. You can do minor things while you're doing that projects, but you can't really do too many major things at one. Two major things at one time. I did the thing. I said, okay, fine, we did it. It's good. Now I want to go on and start answering questions about baptism on this, and I want to start writing another thing on that. And I says, and this is already done. And I wanted to go in and start getting back to the other book on this. I says, no, Richie, you didn't really, because Sister Jane brought up a part where I could have been more clear. And after she did that, I went, yeah, it could be clear. I can say it that way. So the next day I woke up and spent all my day just working on that two pages to perfect it. The devil tries to make you believe you got to be doing more. Do this, go, and then you got to. Then you can get this done, let's go over to this project. No, sit down and really look at this thing. Have you explained it the best way? Have you used every verb the right way? Especially when you're writing about the faith. Have you studied it? Have you read? Have you explained it the right way? And so this is God's perfecting me in this work. Even as we go, in the beginning he understands, because what happened in the beginning, I got bombarded with all these issues of heresies in the faith, and I got to just get this work out there. There's a whole corpus of stuff being denied, and I'm just like trying to hit all these topics because they're all important. But still, even at that, all these debates that we got into with Phil, we learned the hard way, this is not the correct way to go. It's a distraction from the devil. When you start reading stuff you shouldn't be reading, when you start debating with people you shouldn't be debating, you're taken away from the diligent work that God put before you. And we're not talking this, I'm just talking about my job. Your job is to go to work and do that work good. God says to Will, obey your boss at work. He's your boss. Obey him. Show him that you're a good worker. You know, who cares whether the guy's forward or not, whether he's a, you know, nasty or whatever, you know, offer it up to the cross and know you're getting a lot of grace for it. When you come in here and the sister's got to do your daily labors, offer it up to God. It's your daily duty. Do it as good as you could. Do it as precise as you could. With the rose bush now, we're going to take care of that as diligently as we could. And if something goes wrong, God's not going to hold it against us. As long as he sees we've done our part. He might say then, learn what you did wrong. Go back to the books and study what you did wrong so you can get it right next year. And the idea is not to fear. The other thing is too, don't be afraid of failure. Because we're going to have a lot of failures, or at least what we'd say apparent failures in this world when we go out to preach and teach and people aren't listening. Or maybe you did something a little wrong and you could have said that. Don't get discouraged over it. Just if it's something that you can correct, correct it. And sometimes it's nothing you did wrong. It's not going to happen. You know, you can't go there and force converts, or you can't force people to listen. But the main thing we have to do is just examine whether we did everything humanly possible with our diligence and prudence to get the job God has given us done. And that's the whole thing, to look at the job he put before you and be very diligent in doing it. That's how we're trying to do with the prayers book. Now, they're looking over the prayer book to make sure everything's correct on that. I want to have that prayer book so we have all the essential prayer books, prayers in there for converts and our other Catholic brothers to take this book, and everything's there. I want to have it right. I want to have it corrected. I want to have it. And that's the way God wants it. And how is it that the apostate Jews and the enemies of Christ can be so diligent? And they are. They're diligent for Satan.
Yeah.
Muslims are diligent for the satanic god.
Yeah.
They're very. You look at them. They're so diligent that they go into libraries and they look at every paragraph in every book to make sure what needs. That's diligence.
Yeah, it is.
Wow, that's a diligence for Satan, yes. But our Lord says, who are you to not do equal to what they do because you're serving the true God?
Yeah.
Look at them. They're putting you to shame. They're out there working like busy bees out there for the devil. So the big thing is, the daily duty God gives you. That means whatever it is. And then people look at you. If they see you do shabby work out there, and the pagans work embedded in you, what's that going to look like to you? And they're going to say, what kind of... Now, it doesn't mean you have to come into the home. I don't like museum pieces neither. You know, people come into homes, it has to be so impeccable, it has to be no speck on the grass. That, you can be fanatical too, so I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about a certain proficiency and diligence in whatever you do. And order in the refrigerator, know any things, and evidently Sister Jane knows she's not wasting anything. She knows what's in there. I don't see it, but she sees it. As long as she's not throwing anything out, that's fine, because she's using it. I know she knows how to use things. You know, be good. But order, maybe, organizing so you know what's in there, maybe you can be a little better on that. But she does use this stuff, as long as you're not throwing stuff out. It's not that it's a general rule. Every now and then something will have to be thrown out because you bought it, was already old. But I know when I told my family, my father has so much money as a doctor, you would go back in our fridge and find stuff that's old and great. And you throw, you would throw so much meat, food, everything would get thrown out. Buckets of stuff would get thrown out. Now, that's sin. That's sinful. When you start doing that, you're committing sin. See, but now, look, somebody comes into your house, you're a Catholic, and they see that. This is weird. People look and say, are you supposed to be frugal?
Exactly.
Are you not supposed to waste? Boy, you're not too good of a Catholic. If God's grace is supposed to be in you. Or if you go into somebody's family and it's in their house and it's in discord. You go into the kids' playroom and the toys are laying all over the place.
Yeah.
And they're not cleaned up after they're done playing.
Yeah.
Or you think it's small, that ain't small. Or you're done working, your desk still got stuff all over. You didn't clear up your desk. You don't have total order. Even now, every week I got to stay after this bookshelf to keep it orderly. It's hard because we don't have a lot of space, but we can still do it.
Yeah.
We can always be better. And this perfection is required, especially for whatever you do. Now, the work that God has given us, that's why I tell the sisters always take notes down. I mean, we all have to take notes in our daily duties, especially if you're a secretary and you've got to do work and check and investigate things. If you think you're going to just remember it in your mind, you don't write notes down. That's pride, first of all. You think that you're so good you're going to remember everything. Or it's just laziness. You really don't want to do it. You're listening to the guy and you go, yeah, I'll do it. You know, and you don't write it down. And then it doesn't get done. And then if those things don't get done, how is the work ever going to get done? And then what you're going to find yourself doing is if you don't keep records of these things, you're going to be re-researching things that you should have researched before. Now, when you get into some real deep work, you're never going to make it. Sorry, you ain't going to make it. The church never could have operated that way. It could have never came out with her encyclicals, her bulls, her canon laws, her decrees and her commands if they didn't have this type of strict order, keeping the records to find out who said what, on what day did they say it, and how did they say it, and when it came out. You can't do it. That's why when you go to court, if you have all your records in line, even pagans respect that. They do. That's why you want taxes. Keep all your records. Say, boy, that guy keeps his records. These Catholics are efficient. Now, we know faith comes first. I'm not saying that. I'm not like these other people that are diligent with these things but don't have the faith. But I am saying that even to those people, if you want to show them, well, having a Catholic faith doesn't mean you're not diligent.
Yeah, exactly.
You're supposed to have both. Now, you could be out there like an IBM businessman and be very diligent and go straight to hell.
Right.
So I don't want people to mistake that. The faith does come first. But part of our faith requires that we do have this diligence.
Exactly. Right.
You know, that's part of our faith. You know, and that's what they say years ago when you had some Catholics, at least. The Jews, the apostate Jews, used to like to hire Catholics. And why did they hire Catholics? Because they knew they were very efficient. They didn't lie. They didn't cheat like the Jews did. Because the Jews knew they cheated in mind. They knew it. We're liars and cheaters. If I hire another one, I got to keep my eye on that boy.
Yeah.
You know, so they always hired Catholics at that time because they knew they would do their job well. But again, the faith still comes first, though. Even when you're doing your job, I'm just talking about that's one of the fruits. In other words, we could say, without the faith, you have no hope. You can have a pagan who can do a very diligent job. Without the faith, he's going to hell too, because everything to him that is in his works and not even his. Not in the faith. And if you were to go around and follow that guy in his whole life, you'd see how disorderly it is in other areas. Even a guy might be orderly in his home and all that, impeccable, you're going to see how disorderly his heart is, his soul. He's got disruptions within his own spiritual life all that. But I'm talking for us. That's no excuse for us not to do it. That's like saying charismatics pray the rosary all the time and it doesn't work, so therefore I'm not going to pray the rosary.
Right.
You know. Well, it's not the rosary that's wrong.
Right.
And that's why we have to be very careful. And so the big thing I want to center on here, what I was talking about this when he opened to this and read it, says, Lord, I opened it up. What do you want to tell me today? From last night, a couple nights ago, and I read to this chapter. Because a lot of times you think, and the Lord knows, and the devil starts tempting me, making me think I got to do more stuff. Maybe I got co-redemption should be done. Give Caesar's due should be done. I got to put that out there. I should have done this already. I know what I literally have hundreds of things on my mind that need to be done. I write them down. And then I'm thinking, you know, maybe I can just, like, what I'll try to do is when I'm supposed to be working on this, I'll go back to the co-redemptions article and start writing on it. I said, no, I shouldn't have been doing that. I should have sat down and finished what I'm working on now. And that's what I'm looking at it like a surgical scalpel. I'll stay there now on one paragraph and rewrite it, write it again, write it again, write it over again. Put it again and rewrite it again. You should have been doing that long ago, Rich.
Yeah.
If you were doing that long ago, we would have been further down the road with the books. But human and sinful as we are, full of faults and need to be trained by God. But praise God that if you admit you're wrong, God will move you down that road. But He's still showing me that this is what you should have been doing before. Take the thing in front of you, look at it, study it up, single-mindedness. He says, whatever your job is during the day, I got to go water the trees today. At this moment, I'm going to water them trees.
Yeah.
And praise God while I'm watering the trees. Yeah. It's my time to. I got to go up and go shopping and get some food. I'm going to go shopping, and that's time to get my food. And I'm going to check all the prices and make sure I get the best prices.
Am I doing this the right way?
Yeah.
I always think, like, when I'm doing it, okay, is there a more efficient way?
Is there a better way? Efficient way? Quicker and efficient?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Time and money or whatever, you know what I mean?
All that.
Because
that's part of frugalness. That's part of, you read about the qualities of a good woman. They say really a woman is the one that really runs the household. Yeah, the husband's the head of the household, but the woman runs it really. She governs it in the sense that she makes sure all the linens, all the clothes are done, all the food is in there, the storehouses. You look at the women used to go out and get the water, they would go out and milk the cows. The women would make sure that the storehouses are full. You read about it in the scriptures. A holy woman make in her home, all not only her children, but her servants have double garments.
Yeah.
They all have all the food that they need. The storehouses are kept stored. She's frugal. She rules the house. And now if a woman is not doing that, then the husband would have to step in and say, well, there's something a little bit needs to be done here or whatever. And if the husband's not doing his job the right way, then the wife will come up and say, you need to be doing this a little more or do this a little better. So whatever job God puts before us, we do the best possible job with the materials God has given us and the gifts he's given us. And every day we sit back and say, did I do the best possible job that I could on this? That means even if you're repairing a car, like Ron just got a used car out there, he's going to try to get struts from that. That's frugal. He's not going to go out and buy a new strut. He'll go out there and get a $20 and try to take that off and put it on his car. That's frugal in that way. We're not going to go out and buy new ones if you don't have to. Go out and wait and investigate. These things are frugal. And then get out there and fix the car to your best ability. Not everybody's given the same abilities to do certain jobs as good as another guy can do it, but you got to do it as good as you could according to the abilities that God has given you and according to the gifts he's given you. And you got to sit down and say, have I done everything around the house and in my daily duties that needed to be done today, and did I do it as good as I possibly could? Don't we pray that in the holy... matter of fact, get one of those holy office, a holy hour prayers. This is great, and I know we all think about it when we pray it. You know, it's in here. Oh, yeah, it's in there, too. Or, yeah, it's in there, but it's also, I know where it is right here. I mean, I know we all think about this when we, right here. See, being we do this once a month, I know this makes up for it, but it doesn't mean you can't. He says, here it is. It's under the prayer for our daily neglects. To supply for the good I ought to have done, and that I've neglected this day during my life. That I've neglected this day and during all my life to supply for the good that he ought to have done. Was there something good you should have done today and you didn't do it? You know, forgive me, Lord, and help that I don't do that again. And it says again, second, to purify the good I have done badly this day. So there's, and during my all my life. So you may have done something that you were supposed to do that day, but you did it badly. You didn't do it complete. You left things out. You forgot certain things. You didn't do it as good as you should have. Boy, if that's, you know, mm-hmm. And of course, the XP for all my sins. But this is in regard to the second and third point of your daily duties. Have I done it as good as I could have done it? Have I investigated as good as I can investigate it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could have scruples and over-investigate things and overdo things. We're not talking about that. But we are talking about the basic job that's before you and doing it as good as possible. Even when we go get things here, we investigate on the internet. The system Regis investigated and found the best prices we can get for DVD, CD sleeves. $5.30. I just got it for $100. The lowest one I found before that was $7.30. $7. She found one for $5.30. That's diligence. At least do your best, and then you go instead of just this. What do you call it? Impulsive. It's buy things right away without checking prices and stuff. You know, that's not frugal even. So that's diligence. So you have all these little things. Add up, you know, where to get the best unit. Investigate if it's good. If you've done your job and God sees it and something else happens and it doesn't work out, God's not going to hold it against you. And don't be afraid of failure. You know, I'm never going to put another rose bush in here again because they're all dying. Well, that's absolutely incorrect thinking. That is like God saying, because you failed, you're not going to try again to get it right. What is wrong with you? That's like almost pride. You say, in a way, you know, you might, it is hidden pride in there, or fear of the world more than God. So what if the rose bush dies? God doesn't mind that. Just go back out and try to do another one so it don't die.
Yeah, right.
The idea is don't quit. I did my writing not as good. I should have done it better. So what? Now do it better.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't complain about it now. Just make it right. Mm-hmm. Whatever you've done wrong, go back and correct it.
Mm-hmm.
But don't quit. And don't say, I'm afraid if I keep writing, I'm going to do more mistakes. No. The thing is, keep learning. God will teach you, and Mary promises to teach you with the Holy Ghost so that you don't make mistakes. And don't be afraid of failures when they do come. Because sometimes it happens. Sometimes you can fix a car as much as you think you can fix it, and it keeps messing up on you. So that's not, it's just as long as you're doing your best. God, that's a little cross God gives you to work on out there. He tests your patience, he's testing your diligence, and the devil's getting his little 2 cents in there by messing up your work, and he's testing how diligent you are to go through it. And that's why we say our prayers too, because if you've done everything humanly possible for that rose bush, the devil can curse it if God allows him and kill it overnight, or within 2 weeks, or within 3 weeks, send some bugs in there. The devil can do that too. Now, my point is, with us doing our human work, God will protect us from that if he wants it to grow. But it's like the story I told you guys many times when I was in New Jersey, and there was a big snowstorm. real big, you know. And I was praying, oh Lord, God, can you send your angel to sort of melt it or just shovel this? Get out there with that shovel and shovel it yourself. What do you think, I'm going to send an angel to shovel your front lawn? Are you really crazy? That's laziness. And then he's also saying, then what happens when you really need the angel and my help for a bit, the big things?
Yeah.
Like in your, like Moses in the desert when you can't get any food.
Yeah.
Then it's legit.
Yeah, right.
Then you really need help from God. If you're not doing what you can humanly do, why should God help you on what you can't do, you know?
Yeah.
So this is so very important for us. And not to murmur and complain when you're doing your daily duties. Don't get distracted off of when you're doing... Now, this is what I'm referring to when I do my work, but when I go down and answer emails or my other daily duties, I have to be diligent.
Yeah.
And everything that you know, all your daily duties, whatever it is. If you're working on on printing books, then you do the printing good. If you work on trying to get the printers is in best working order, the lowest way you can get the paper out there, the best way you can do it, the best way and most efficient way to mail things, the best way to keep Mary's house as clean as possible without, you don't have to be, we're not fanatical like museums though, neither. I'm not like that neither. So you could be so impeccable that you're looking at every speck, and that's the oversight. That's the oversight, you know? Or give an example, you know, like somebody we know was when you're printing out journals. He was looking at it, and if the print was just like 1 millimeter over to the right, and the yellow was too dark and not 2 degrees lighter, he kept reprinting. Now that's scruples.
Yeah.
That's not diligence. That's scruples.
Yeah.
That's pride.
Yeah.
You can go too far with that, and you can mistake that for look how diligent I am.
Yeah.
My margins are more perfect than Rich's margins. Now that's not diligence. That's pride.
Yeah.
That's arrogance. Because the main thing you're concerned about is does the impact get across to the person? Could he read the writing? You know, that's like the people keep saying to me, you don't have the best videotape here. You can have one of these more expensive best videos. Can you hear me? And can you see the picture? Oh, we can certainly hear you. Well, then what are you arguing about? You know? What do you want? What they're really saying is I don't like what he's saying. That's why I was saying, you know, I was talking about, I won't mention you, but some people are very, very much picky about these things. They think, Richard, people aren't going to listen unless you have it. Just so, now, I'm not against making a good presentation. That's true, because then I would be wrong on the other side if I yelled at people who didn't want to get it. If I could get a good camera and I could make it clear, I should.
Right, right.
But let's not make that as the whole issue with me. As long as I've got the main work that needed to be there, which God was looking at, did you say the right things and did you present the proper evidence? That's the first thing. Later on, you want me to make a better thing? Give me the money or come and help me.
Yeah, right.
Get the system and then put in your 2 cents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But with what I had then, that's the best I could have done. And in that case, the
it
most important
shows you the will of the people.
Right, right. That's the thing we got to be careful too. We don't want people to
say that was wrong.
People might come by and look at the shack and say, "Well, they're not being rude," but they don't do that really. But they could, you know. A real ritzy person might say they're living in a dump. Well, God does that also, because that doesn't mean diligence and prudence living in a poor place. That God lived in a poor place. What it means, like my mother used to say, and she was right on that, just because you're poor doesn't mean you can't sweep out your house.
There you go.
Like you had so many innocent people that were poor and they're pigs.
Yeah, right.
Garbage all over the front lawn, smelling and rotten. They would have stuff scribble all over their walls. They'd have dirt in their house. Now that's what we're talking about. So it's not wrong with being poor. God was even poor.
Right.
But that doesn't, well, Jesus when he was on earth, but that doesn't mean you cannot sweep out and keep your house somewhat clean, you know. You don't have to be impeccable. But what we're going to do, I'm going to read during the catechism from what I was reading on that, which has to do with what we're talking about. You know, he was going there saying, I don't care. He says, you can beat yourself to death, mortify. He says, the most important thing to you in your life is, as a Catholic, is what your daily duty is.
Yeah.
You can become perfect simply by doing your daily duty perfect. He's not saying that you don't need to do mortifications, but he says that's not the most important thing is what he's really driving home is everything really comes down to how are you doing your daily duties. That really, you can analyze, say, am I getting better or worse? Am I becoming a perfect Catholic or not?
Right.
Because our faith shows forth in our fruits.
Right.
You know, giving Caesar's due, going out and voting when we have to, now that we're learning that God wants us to do this, and so forth. But
I think the imitation says, too, is not how much... what you get done, but how much love you put into your actions. Like, how diligent.
Are you in that?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, don't worry about the end result. Just worry about doing what you can with as much.
Right. And God doesn't even make you do a lot. See, you know what? You know what's amazing? God's not tyrant. This is amazing. He knows I'm on a workaholic mode. And he's trying to knock me out of it. He really is. He says, you don't got to do 20,000 things at once, Rich. You only got to do the one thing I put for you and do it good with love. plans? And he says, yes, he says it in here. He goes, and it's easy. You don't got to do all these other things you think you got to do. That's the American dream, the Calvinistic nonsense where they put the workaholic in you.
Yeah.
And so you're doing 20 things at once, master of nothing, jack of all trades. You're not studying down on one thing. You know, you're trying to do 20 different, thousand different things at one time. God's not like that. With me, I said, you mean that's you're pleased, Lord? I took all day just to do two pages. Oh, yes, I'm pleased. That's what I want done. He showed me that. I know you don't need to pump the book out in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You don't have to have it out by any special day. You just have to have it out when it's done and do it in my time. So he really showed me that. I spent the whole morning the other day on two pages. And he's happy. Very happy with that. Because that's... It takes that kind of work to get it really right. And then when you're done getting that job done, when I'm done with this, I've said it. It's done. It's done. I know that I've said it in the right way, in such a way that it can't be explained any clearer. The problem then is going to be either they're not cooperating with God's grace or something else. But once you've done your job is like that, and it's as you said perfectly there, so you do your job with love and loving it. That's the big key, loving it. When you start praying to God, you stop murmuring. The big thing is, if you ever catch yourself murmuring, complaining, because some jobs might be a little difficult, just stop doing it right away, because God hates that. He absolutely hates murmuring and complaining, because you say, well, then, the heck with it, then don't do it, you know. That's like when somebody said, oh, every time you ask somebody to do something, you go, what the heck, I go, don't, look, like my sisters, you know, every time you had a cook, do me a favor, don't cook for me no more. I cook for myself alone, and I don't want to eat it even. Get away from me, let alone the fact that they couldn't cook anyway. Because then that becomes, and then that becomes a real without love. You know it.
Yeah.
And it's a bitterness. It's like the guy said, better to eat a morsel of bread with a good woman than have a feast with a bad woman or bad people. You know, they say that. A morsel of bread alone than in a house with a brawling woman.
Yeah.
Everything like that. Everything is, you're upset while you're eating even.
Yeah.
There's that constant tension in the house when stuff like that happens. And then when it happens, you've got everybody murmuring. The husband comes home and he's murmuring about his daily day at work. And if she's murmuring, then the kid starts murmuring. And you got a bunch of murmurers and complainers.
Yeah.
And they're all murmuring and complaining to one another. It's just one miserable nightmare. And they go to the psychiatrist who gives them pills. And this is a whole thing in the world today. This is not godly behavior.
Yeah.
And when you start asking God to give you the grace to do these things with love, and it is your daily duty, he actually makes you love it.
Right.
And gives you the grace. Sometimes you might not be physically up to it, but he does give you the desire and strength just to get it done, what you got to do. And he never asks you, he's not a tyrant. That's the other key. So whatever he puts before you, we got to do as good as possible. And just know what your daily duties are. Now we're going to read about that also, a catechism from this book right here. Yeah. That's why I turned to the page right there, and God was telling me, because I thought, am I doing, I got to do all these other things. I wanted to write co-redemptrix. I wanted to add the addition now that we just came up with, that new heresy where I found the catechism about supernatural faith and all that. There was at least 100 things in my mind always that I want to do. And I'm thinking maybe, I even, like one day I'd wake up and I'd start working on the co-redemption thing. I said, no. Go on the book you're doing. Work on the book you're doing. You don't got to do 20,000 things at once. And that was the problem, was trying to debate all these. But what a diversion that was. We learned the hard way. If I've done a good enough job explaining myself, I've got all my sources, I've got all my quotes, and I've got everything I need in there, I just send the person over to that and say, read faith before the Mass, and if you still think you can go to and pray and commune heretics, I don't want to hear you. Because I know I've done my job. I've presented everything I could to you. If I didn't do my job, then I would have been remiss in presenting the evidence. But that's why I have to be so conscious that every one of these books, if it's done proper, that's it. It's
that's
the thing. And, you know, I know as I'm writing these books, it puts me on the rock of Peter. It makes me strong. I can understand solemn, ordinary. What does it mean? This has to mean. It makes yourself even stronger in the faith when you start reading these things. Now, anybody of goodwill who's out there that's lost, they're going to have to come to the St. John the Baptist and get found. Or that's the end of it.
Yeah.
Now, you're confused about what people are saying about praying and communion heretics? Read my book. I know I've said enough in there. And you still want to do it? Bye. About the dogma. You know?
Yeah.
Read. And so that's just an example of two pages that we worked on. But I'm doing that now with everything. Mm-hmm. And that's what's making the work even better. It's making it perfected. And so, but that's just my work. Mm-hmm. That's everything. You go to work. You've got to put those jars. He says, well, I want you to put those jars up here. And then you put it.
Rotate it, make sure.
Whatever you got to do. And you even want to do more than what they're doing because they're not as efficient, but that you can't help. If you try to tell them you should be rotating this out and they're not doing it, well, that's not your problem. You've done your job. The idea to be obedient even to your non-Catholic masters.
Yeah.
It's be obedient, be polite to the policemen and the people up here. I always was, always am. You know, I don't care if they're unjust, that's their problem. That doesn't give me an excuse to be nasty. And you got to be very careful. He's a cop, he's a bum. Is that, what is that all about? He's a cop, it's his job, that's what he's doing. Maybe he is a bum. That's between him and his superior's work. I still have to honor that. As the law that God has put here is, I'm going to show myself snipping off. I said, first of all, let's look at it logically. That guy is the policeman, whether you like it or not. Yeah, you yell at him. If he was going to give you one ticket, he's going to give you two tickets. If he was going to give you no tickets, he's going to give you one ticket. But yelling at him, you ain't going to get nowhere. He's the cop. Unless he's done something so grossly wrong. Then you really could, if it's some gross thing. And you'll find most times, even though cops are bad, a lot of times you get pulled over, you are violating the law.
Why
fight with them?
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. I'm driving around the town here. They got a 25-mile speed limit here.
Yeah.
If you're going 27, I know the guy could be, but he could pull you over, says you were going 27. I don't go over 25.
Yeah.
In this town, I don't do it. Because I know I can get pulled over, and I have no case if I argue. I keep it in second gear because I can't get above 25 in second gear. If you go above 20, why are you doing this? Well, you're breaking the law. Why are you arguing with the guy? And if they see Catholics come in, it gives Catholics a bad name. Are you Catholics allowed to break the law? Now, there's some things where, you know, you say the cop really could have just warned me. A lot of times if you're not going over that much, most cops will. But the point is, give Caesar his due. Obey the people that God put in front of you, even though they're not Catholics. Even they have to have some semblance of law and order. Even pagans know that. But we'll get it. That has to do with what Caesar's do, which is another topic. But the big one is just about doing the daily duties, which we're going to talk about today. And being efficient when you're doing them. Don't murmur and don't complain and don't make excuses, too. That's the big thing. When you've done something wrong or you missed something, don't make excuses. Oh, I messed up. I forgot. I try to do it immediately when I'm corrected and I found out I'm wrong. Immediately. Oh, thanks. I messed up. And when you do that, people who are generally jealous of these type things, they will look at you like, and they'll pretend as if you never said you did anything wrong. Because they don't remember how quick you say it and correct yourself right away. Because these people don't do it. They don't like correct. And if they do, it's, I didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't my fault. And they're already beginning to murmur. So, well, did you make a mistake or not?
Yeah.
If somebody can't admit they made a mistake, we don't even want them near us. If they don't learn to get over that.
Right.
I don't need it. You know, we all can make mistakes. And we all will make mistakes like that. Maybe you'll forget to do something. You didn't do it this way. You forgot that. Last week, we forgot to do the martyrology, and Sister Marie reminded us.
Know.
There was a mistake.
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. I actually so used to doing it, I thought we did it. They said, no, you know, we didn't do it. Now, I could have said, no, we did do it. We did it, we did. Even after I knew we didn't do it. Now I'm committing sin.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm making a big fuss over it. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901. 2878 and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.